service. Amen. It makes that God's moving in there. Amen. Well, without further ado, I'd like to bring April out tonight to preach God's word. So let's give it up for April tonight as she comes out and preaches God's word.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for praying for me last week. I was under the weather, and I appreciate everybody's prayers. I know that they truly did help me not get it near as bad, it being whatever it was, as some other people that have had it. And so I appreciate your prayers, and I'm thankful that we have a faithful God that hears our prayers. And so I just appreciate your support for last week, and I'm excited to be able to share the word tonight with each of you. You know, there, as we was worshiping up here tonight, my thought was, we shouldn't take this worship for granted. You don't get this kind of worship everywhere you go. And to be able to feel His presence like we feel it in here tonight, it is not something that we should take for granted. And I'm just so thankful that I get to be a part of this team and a part of His plan here. So if you'll go ahead and stand for the reading of the word, I'm going to look at 1 John. So not the Gospel of John, but 1 John in chapter 2. And I'm going to start with verse 12, and I'm going to read down through verse 17 into your hearing tonight. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Because your sins are forgiven you for His namesake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have once overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men, because you were strong, and the word of God abide in you, and you overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passed away, and the lust thereof. But he that doth the will of God abide forever. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word tonight, Lord God. I thank you that it inspires each and every one of us tonight, that it would touch our hearts and touch our lives, Lord God. I pray that you would allow me to clearly hear your voice tonight, that I may share it, Lord Jesus, with your people, Lord God. I thank you that your word does not go out void, Lord God, but that you are ministering to each and every one of us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. You see, tonight, if I was going to title this message, I would title this message, Abide in God Forever. Abide in God forever. Man, forever sounds like an awful long time tonight, doesn't it? But the scripture tells us to abide in God forever. That means to remain in God forever. We are to remain, to stay, to hold tight, to hold fast to our relationship with God, not just for a season, but we are to hold fast to Him for eternity. And see, that's my prayer tonight, is that each and every one of you under the sound of my voice that is walking with Jesus, that it would not just be a season that you're transitioning through, but that it would be the story of your lifetime in this world and then in the life ever after. Abiding means that you are walking with God forever. You see, when I thought about our youth night, when I thought about our youth night, we bring you in as children so that we can share the word of God with you, so that we can plant the seeds of Christ in your heart and in your life, so that you can receive salvation as a child. Not so that when you become a young adult, you can then leave the church house and go out into the world and to live your life. But we bring you in as children to teach the word of God to you so that your life may be instilled in Christ, so that you can walk with Him forever. And that's what John is talking about here in chapter 2. You see, he refers to three different phases of our walk with Christ. He says first, he talks about the little children. And when he's talking about the little children, he's really referencing those who have newly experienced the forgiveness of Jesus in their lives. He's really talking about those that are spiritually new in their walk with Christ, who have just recently had their birthday and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and turned into that new creature that God has created them to be. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about the little children. And then he refers to the fathers. You see, the fathers are those who are more mature in their faith. He doesn't say adults. He doesn't say old men. He says fathers. Because they are those that have lasted the lifetime of a faith and a walk with God, and they are now to be examples to the younger generations of that walk. You see, fathers are those who are mature in their faith, who have had that long withstanding relationship with Christ and have a testimony of his goodness that they can share with the younger believers. And then John talks about the younger man. He talks about the men that are in that middle season of their life. And he says that, yes, these men have struggled with the temptations of Satan, but they have won. He says that, yes, they struggled with the temptations of Satan, but they were able to overcome them. Why? Because they abided in Christ. Because they chose to continue to follow after him. And yeah, John is referring to our spiritual walks and how we grow and mature in our relationship with God. That when we first receive Christ, we are like children, new to our faith, right? Some of us as adults are children in our faith because we didn't receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior until we were above the age of 21, maybe above the age of 30, maybe above the age of 40. But you're a child in Christ because you're new to this salvation walk. You see, God's ideal image is that we would all receive Jesus Christ in our youth as actual natural children. But that doesn't happen for everyone. He wants us to receive him as our hearts are pure, as we're young. He says in Matthew 18, except you be converted and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So no matter our age, whenever we first receive Christ, we come into the kingdom as little and children, as little children, the children of God. But you see, the truth of the matter, though John is illustrating our spiritual growth, it very much represents our natural growth order, right? While we are yet little children, we're learning the ways of this world, right? We're learning what is right and wrong. We're learning what is good and bad. We're learning who we are and what we want to be and how we want to act. And then we begin to get a little bit older, right? And see, it's easier to be good when you're younger because you've got that pure heart, right? You're ignorant to some of the ways of the world. But then when you hit like about middle school and high school and become young men and women of this world, the temptations of the enemy begin to attack, right? The enemy tries to introduce gossip into your life. The enemy tries to introduce bitterness into your life. The enemy tries to introduce anger into your life, resentment, rebellion, lying, right? As you hit those teenage years, as you become young adults, then you get to about 18, right? 18's a whole new world of freedom. That's when you just want to go out on your own, be whoever you want to be. You think you could just leave mom and dad behind in the dust, and you can live your life any way that you want to live, right? Then you hit 21, and let's just hold the brakes at 21 because we can't even go past that, right? 21, you're legally allowed to hit the bar scene, right? And you've got to make a decision on where you're going to spend your Saturday nights. Are you going to hang out at the bar? and not be able to wake up for church on Sunday morning? Are you going to make the good decision to stay home so that you can make it to Sunday school the next day? You see, when John illustrates our spiritual growth, man, it really goes in alignment with our natural growth. And then if you make it past that, and you get to your older years, and you get married, and you have children, you then become a father. And as a father, you are an example to your children. As a father, you can be a good example to your children, or you can be a bad example to your children. Not all fathers are good examples. I was blessed to have a good example. My children are blessed to have good examples. But not all fathers are good examples. So John illustrates our natural growth very much, our spiritual growth very much in line with our natural growth so that we can comprehend it and so that we can retain it. You see, but the scripture tells us how we can withstand those middle years. Because I think that's where it's the most challenging for us. It's being able to withstand the middle years. The years of temptation where the wicked one rises up against us. Because we don't realize that we have the power to overcome in Christ Jesus. If you look around tonight, if you look around Sunday morning, not just in this church, but you look across churches of America, the truth of the matter is we are failing our young men and women. We've got a whole generation that is not coming to church because they're in this middle phase where they're fighting the enemy and they don't know that they have the power to overcome. And so tonight, as I'm teaching to the youth, I'm telling each and every one of you that as you get to this middle phase, you have the power to overcome. You do not have to succumb to the wicked one. You do not have to fail to the test of temptations, but you can rise above. You can rise above. Your testimony doesn't have to be a testimony that is broken and beaten and how God brought you back to the church house. Your testimony can be that you stayed in the church house. That is what we desire your testimony to be. That is why we haul you in here by the busloads week after week after week, because when you're 15, I want you here. When you're 17, I want you here. When you're 21, I want you here. When you're 35 and bringing your babies here, I want you here. And you have the power to make that decision. No matter what circumstance you have in your life, you have the power to overcome in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't care who your mom is. I don't care who your dad is. I don't care what kind of life you're living. It is your choice on what you do and your spiritual growth. I am not discounting Jesus' salvation power and pulling those out that need it. Praise God for his grace and his mercy because it's for every single one of us, whether you stay in or whether you fall out. But you can choose to stay in. You can choose to stay in. You know how you choose to stay in? It tells us in John, 1 John 2 and 1. It says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. It's that simple. Like, God does not make it complicated. If you want to stay in the will of God, if you want to abide in God, 1 John 2 and 1 very simply tells us, how do you do that, little children? Well, as you're a little children, you decide and you choose to sin not. And if you choose that as a little child, when you become a young adult and the wicked one starts to tempt you, you've already made it a pattern that you have chosen not to sin. So if you start it now in your life as little children, that can become a pattern. And when the enemy comes against you, you don't even have to worry about it because you've already got the maturity. You've already got the pattern. You've already got the lifestyle to say no to the wicked one, to say no to sin. You see, the first choice, the best choice, is always not to sin. That is the best choice. And you see, I believe there are three key points that allow us to continue to abide with Christ through our seasons of growth. And they're all found in 1 John in chapter 2. The first thing he teaches us is we've got to abide in the will of God. The second thing he teaches us is that we must abide in the Word of God. And the third thing he teaches us is that we must abide in the anointing of God, which is the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. So I bet there's plenty of you thinking, well, I don't know anybody whose testimony is that they just started coming to church as a child and stayed at church their whole life, right? And served God till the end. So I'm going to tell you a little story about Samuel tonight. Samuel was one of God's prophets. Samuel was Israel's last judge. Samuel was a mighty man of God. Samuel abided in the Lord. Samuel lived his whole entire life serving God. You see, Samuel, I'm going to just tell you the story because it's easier that way, but you can go in your free time, open your Bible to 1 Samuel, read chapters 1 through 7. I'm going to tell you the story, but if you want to fact check me later, that's where you're going to go find this, okay? So Samuel, his mother's name was Hannah. And Hannah was barren. She was unable to have a child. And she went to the temple, and she begged, and she pleaded with the Lord. And she cried and asked God to give her a child. And she said, Lord, if you would just give me a son, I will dedicate him to you. And the priest Eli came over and prayed for her. And she had a child, and she bare a son, and she named him Samuel. And after she weaned him, she brought him to the house of the Lord and offered him to the priesthood. So at 3 years old, 3 years oldish, Samuel's mom brought him to the temple, to the house of the Lord, and turned him over to the work of the priesthood. Okay? That means at 3 years old, Samuel's mom left him with a stranger and went back home and lived her life and would visit him once a year. Okay? Now, she did this out of a pure heart because she made this promise to God, and God blessed her with three more sons and two more daughters. But Samuel was a young child without a mom on a regular basis. Anybody hearing me in the house? A young child without a mom came and visited him once a year. And the scripture tells us that Samuel grew up in the house of God. And what's interesting in 1 Samuel in chapter 2 and 18, it says that Samuel ministered before the Lord as a child. You see, Samuel acted first in the will of God. As a child, in his youth, he used his gifts, he used his talents, he worked for God even as a child. And because he worked for God as a child, the scripture tells us that as he grew, he was in the favor of the Lord and he was in the favor of men. You see, when we abide with Christ and we walk with him and we do his work, his will, when we abide in his will, God's favor is upon your life. And not only will you find the favor of God upon your life, but you will also find the favor of people that are a part of your life. You see, Samuel got up day after day just to please God, just to stay in the will of God. I want you to get a hold of this. He only saw his mom once a year. That may be less than some of you in here. That may be more than some of you in here. He was raised by a priest. And let me tell you this, the priest's sons were corrupt. So the other ones that were growing up around him were corrupt. They were evil. They were living outside of God's will. But despite these barriers, day after day, Samuel got up and chose to abide in the will of God. Next, we see that Samuel chose to abide in the word of God. And I love this. In 1 Samuel in chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was his word revealed to him." So despite Samuel really even understanding God, despite Samuel knowing his word in the previous chapter, we know that day after day, Samuel still got up and chose to serve him. So we see here in chapter 3 that he did not truly know the Lord, neither was his word revealed unto him. But in chapter 3, the story of Samuel and his calling comes to light. You see, Samuel went to bed for the night, and as he laid there, the Lord began calling out to him. And he heard a voice. And Samuel didn't know whose voice it was, so he got up and he ran to the priest and he said, "Did you call me?" And Eli said, "No, it wasn't me. Go lay back down." 3 times the voice of the Lord called out to Samuel. And finally, he figured it out. Eli finally said, "It is the Lord trying to get a hold of you. So if he says your name again, say, 'Here I am, Lord.'" So he laid back down and God called out to Samuel. And Samuel responded, "Here I am, Lord, your servant." And God's word was revealed to him that night. God's word was revealed to Samuel that night. And in Samuel 3 and 19, it says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he did not let none of his words fall to the ground." You see, once Samuel realized how precious the word of God was, once Samuel realized how important the word of God was, once Samuel realized and recognized the truth of it, he cherished it in so much that the scripture says he let it fall not to the ground, meaning that he didn't let it go void. If God's word was spoken to him, then he took it and he planted it in his heart and he applied it to his life. He abided in the word of God. You see, and it wasn't just this one time experience. Time after time, when Samuel had a decision to make, I consider in the young men years of Samuel's life, right? The Philistines are rising up against Israel. Samuel's trying to stand against Eli's 2 wicked sons. Challenges left and right. You know where Samuel went every time? To the word of God. Every time Samuel had a tough choice, a tough situation, a decision to make, the scripture will tell you he knelt down and prayed and he was seeking after the word of God. And it was upon God's word that he made his decision. Upon God's word that he made his decision. You see, when we get to the young men years in our walk, in our natural walk and in our spiritual walk, and we're trying to make those hard decisions about what we're supposed to do next. Should I get married? Should I not get married? Should I go to the bar? Should I stay home? You want to know where to go for all your answers? All your answers are right here in this word. My son turned 21 last week. 21. And I thought, what in the world can I give him? What type of birthday present can I give my 21-year-old that is going to set him on the right track for life? And God spoke to me. Give him my word. Because when he's confused, this is where he can find direction. When he needs to make a decision, this has got all the answers. When he's struggling, this holds his promises. When he's in the young men phase of his life, this will give him the direction on how to live it. And not just for the moment, but how to live it for life eternal. Samuel abided in the Word of God in his young life. This is not just an Old Testament principle. John tells us this in verse 24. It says, therefore abide in that which you have heard from the beginning. You guys come in here week after week and hear the Word of God. We are feeding it to you so that you can apply it to your lives, so that you can stay in the will of God. Not just for today, but forever. And finally, Samuel walked in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the third key to abiding and living a life with God is walking in the anointing and the power which is the Holy Spirit. You see, in 1 John 2 and 27, it says, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And 1 Samuel 3 and 19 says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. It was the Lord being with him that kept him. Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord, and he grew. And he stayed in his path because the Lord was with him. It was the very anointing and the call of God that was upon him, his life, that kept his life as a walk of faith for God. Ephesians 3 and 16 tells us that we are to be strengthened in our spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. That you would be rooted and grounded in love, so that you can comprehend the love of God, that you could be filled with the fullness of God, so that you would know that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than all we could ask or think, because his power works in us. It is this power that while you're a young adult, you can stand in the face of the wicked one and tell him to get behind you, Satan, because you serve a God who has already overcome. You serve a God who is already victorious. You serve a God who has already won. And that inner man dwells inside each and every one of you. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that power, that authority is in your heart. It's his Holy Spirit that is alive and inside of you. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and he will direct your path. It's the indwelling of the Spirit that keeps us. Man, it's that little voice that says, don't do that. It's that little voice that says, you better not go there. It's that little voice that says, don't hang out with those friends. It's that little voice that says, this is right and this is wrong, but you know what? This over here is God's best. And it's when we can walk in God's best that we can abide with him forever. It's when we choose God's best that we can avoid the temptations of the wicked one. As I close tonight, as the music team comes, let me just tell you this. In 1 Samuel 7 and 15, it says, Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. All the days of his life. From a child to an old man, Samuel did his job for God all the days of his life, and he is seated in the seat in the presence of the Lord today because he abided in Christ forever. You see, Samuel withstood his childhood. Samuel withstood as a young man. And he was able to judge all the days of his life. Why? Because he abided in the will of God, he abided in the Word of God, and he abided in the anointing of God, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm telling you this tonight. Because many of you are children in here. And some of you may be children of faith. And here's what you need to know and to be prepared for. The next season to get from child to father is the season of being a young man. And the scripture tells us, the scripture warns us that you will face temptations from the evil one. Just because you're a follower of Christ doesn't mean the devil's not going to come knocking. Because the truth of the matter is he's probably going to come knocking a whole lot harder than somebody else that he's already got blinded. John warns us that you're not going to be void of the temptations or the attacks. John warns us of the Antichrist. He warns us of false teaching. He warns us of liars, and he tells us not to be deceived. And he teaches us how. We're not deceived because we choose to abide in God. Listen, when you abide in God's will and in his word and in his power, John teaches us to be overcomers. That means if you're an overcomer, that means that you're going to rise above the temptation. You're not going under it. You're not going around it. You're not going through it. It means that God has given you the power and the authority to face that temptation and to go over it. That it would not even phase your life. That it would not even phase your heart. That it would not even phase your mind. That's how you can walk the walk of faith from child to young man to become a father of the faith. To be able to tell a testimony of how God kept you all the days of your life and forever. And I'm going to close with 1 John 2:28. Why is this important? Why is this important? Because little children abide in him, that when he shall appear. Because if y'all don't know this, my God is coming back. Hallelujah. And if I abide in him from a little child to through a young man to an adult forever, when my God comes back, I will be able to stand before him in confidence, knowing that I served him with my whole heart, and I will not have to be ashamed at the life that I lived on the judgment day. Oh, Shanaka That's why it matters. Because the God that I serve is coming back. And we're all going to have to stand before him. And I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to abide in him forever. So tonight, if you've ever not ever made that commitment, tonight is a night where you can take that first step and decide to receive and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Tonight you can come say, Lord, I want to be your child. I want to start this walk with you. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle ground and you need a little bit more direction on your life so that you can abide in his will and in his word and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Come to the altar and ask him for that grace. Come to the altar and ask him for that mercy. Come to the altar and ask him for that love tonight. And he'll meet you and he'll